Hello. So glad that you could be here today as we get into another episode of Keeping Up with the Corinthians Season 2. I want you to think about church for a minute. When I say church, what comes to mind? What do you picture? A lot of people, I think, would think about a group of nicely dressed people coming together on a Sunday morning, sometime between 10 and 11 a.m., once the cows have been milked, to take part in a service of worship that has been planned by a pastor that they pay to lead their church. That's, I think, what most people would think of in the 21st century in North America when they thought about church. That, though, was not the experience of the New Testament church. You know, when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, the Corinthian people would have gathered probably very early in the morning before they milked the cows even. Because, you know, Sunday was a work day in the ancient Roman world. They would have gone to church and then gone off to work. There was no pastor at Corinth. A group of elders would lead the church and teach, and their efforts, their teaching specifically, would be supplemented by itinerant wandering preachers like Paul. You can see that reality reflected in a lot of Paul's letters, including 2 Corinthians, and there are actually ancient church documents that talk about how to handle these kind of wandering preachers. One of them is called the Didache. That's something like the teaching of the apostles. And this first century document, the Didache, says, and I'm going to paraphrase here, "Receive anyone who comes to you teaching the truths of the gospel. If they turn away and teach another doctrine which is contrary to the truth, do not listen to him. But if he teaches so that the justice and knowledge of the Lord increase, receive him as from God. He shall not stay one or two days, but if he stays three, then he is a false prophet. If he asks for money, he is a false prophet. If he does not practice what he preaches, he is a false prophet. No pastor, just the elders. These are some criteria by which you can judge people who come to teach your church. If somebody like Paul came to town, then boy, you were in good stead. But there were certainly people out there who were trying to use the gospel to make themselves rich and famous. And believe it or not, that was a possibility in the ancient Near Eastern world. And some of the people at the Corinthian church had been taken in by these preachers because they were flashy, they were fancy, they were appealing, and their gospel sounded better than this whole deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me message that Paul was preaching to them. And so as Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, he's finding himself struggling to keep connected with the church that he has founded at Corinth. That reality lies just beneath the surface of 2 Corinthians. And if you read 2 Corinthians, which I really encourage you to do, you're going to see that reflected in Paul's letter. Paul really struggling to maintain this relationship with a church that he deeply loves. He wants to protect them against false teaching. And so in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, Paul gives us a standard by which you could evaluate these preachers. So 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. Paul says, "Our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God. And supremely so towards you." Paul is setting himself up here in direct contrast to the people who preach the gospel to make a buck. You know, I'm not really sure that the length of time an itinerant preacher comes and stays in your town is a good judge of character, but this certainly is. Have they behaved in the world with simplicity, sincerity, and grace? That's something that you should look for in a pastor. That's something that I hope that you see in me. And I would argue that that's something that should characterize all of our lives as Christian people. Simplicity, sincerity, and grace. Do we behave in the world with simplicity, sincerity, and grace, or are we so accommodated to the world that we fit in without giving it a second thought? Let's take a minute and think about simplicity, sincerity, and grace so that we can apply it in our own lives. Paul says we have behaved in the world with simplicity. If you're reading the NIV, they've translated it holiness. The word is really more like single-mindedness. So a single-mindedness on the things of God, which is how the NIV got to holiness. Single-mindedness, simplicity, is really closer to the Greek word that Paul uses. So when people look at you, do they see a life cluttered with all sorts of stuff? Or a person who is on a single-minded mission to pursue the things of God? You know, our culture really values being busy, having our hands in all sorts of pots, but Christ calls us to single-minded simplicity. Our lives should be marked by that simplicity. Paul says we have behaved in the world with sincerity, with pure motives, not for what we could get out of it, but out of gratitude for what God has already done for us. You know, there are lots of people in the world who will scratch your back if you scratch theirs, but God calls us to serve other people simply on the basis of the fact that Jesus has already served us first. God calls us to serve with a genuine interest in others' well-being, not for what we get out of it, but because we are grateful for what God has already done for us. Our lives should be marked by sincerity. And Paul says we have behaved in the world with the grace of God, not with worldly wisdom. You know, the world's wisdom says, trust in your own strength, do things only if they benefit you, and you're only worth what you make, right? God's grace turns all of that on its head and says, no, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Serve others as Christ has served you. And everyone is valuable because they are made in the image of God and they are loved by God. Which of those characteristics, which of those perspectives, the wisdom of the world or the grace of God, characterizes you? You know, there are times when the world's wisdom lines up with God's wisdom, and that's great. That's the image of God at work in each of us. That's God's common grace working in our culture. But when the culture of the world diverges from the grace of God, then we need to follow the undeserved, unconditional grace of God, and extend that grace by faith to other people. Our lives should really be characterized by grace. So here's the question really for us today. How do we behave towards the world? Think about your life for a minute. Are you so acclimatized to the world's culture and values that you fit in without really thinking about it? Or do you behave in the world with simplicity and sincerity and grace? You know, off the top of my head, as I think about Langford, I'm really encouraged because I think that these things characterize us. And I love that. I think that we are a people who are, we're a simple people. I think that our lives are characterized, our church is characterized by simplicity and by sincerity and by grace. And so I want to say to you, keep it up. And I will try my best to continue to keep doing that too and interact with the world with simplicity, sincerity, and grace. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for coming and serving us with simplicity and sincerity and grace. Lord, you didn't come and load us up with all sorts of knowledge and esoteric ideas. You just came and said, follow me. Have faith like a child. Lord, your life was simple, uncluttered. You were focused on the things of God. Help us to be that too. Lord, you were sincere. You laid down your life for us. There was no question of, what do I get out of this? In your attitude, Jesus, your attitude was to serve us. Thank you. In light of that, help us to act with sincerity and genuineness towards others. And Lord, what grace you have shown us. We deserved condemnation, and yet you gave us forgiveness and relationship. You brought us into God's own family. Lord, help us to extend that kind of grace to others. Give us strength and courage to live in this world, in this time, with simplicity and sincerity and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I look forward to seeing you, as many as can, at our online Zoom gathering on Sunday. Check your email, and you will soon find the connection details there. So in the meantime, I will leave you with this. Trust in God and stay safe. And remember, prayer and precaution, not panic.